Hello, everybody. Dr. Ben Edwards here. Welcome to another episode of You're the Cure. We've got a great show today. We've got a guest that I've come to know more and more over the last few months, but was just introduced to him this year. Actually, a patient. Just love my patients. They're always introducing me to new things to go explore and to think about. Being in the integrative medical world for the past, now it's 12 years almost, I've learned to humble myself and understand I don't know it all. And the more I learn, the more I realize that there's less I know that I thought I knew. And that old Mark Twain quote, it's not what you know for sure that gets you in trouble. No, it's not what you don't know that gets you in trouble. It's what you know for sure that just ain't so. So we've talked in the past few weeks with a couple different patients, testimonials that involve the subject of divine healing or miracle cure or however you want to put that, kind of pressing the envelope a little bit for some folks as far as their beliefs, which I get it, I understand. When I first was told 12 years ago by a doctor that there's no such thing as diseases, they're all consequences, and type 2 diabetes is totally reversible, and there's clinics in Mexico who get 5-year survival rates on cancer that are better than MD Anderson, all of that, I said, no way could that be true. So we've come a long ways. We've learned a lot that the Word of God is absolutely true. And the father of all lies, the prince of the air, the ruler of this world, he is out to deceive and trick us. And in many ways he has. But that, maybe we'll get into that later in this conversation. I want to bring in our guest today. He's the executive producer of a film that I highly recommend called Send Proof. And a little backdrop here. We've interviewed a few patients, like I've said, testimonials of some basically divine healing. It's been awesome, been incredible. I started really looking more at what the Word of God says about this about a year ago, year and a half ago. Started just asking the Holy Spirit to show me what is this? What's the truth of this? To teach me, lead me into all truth regarding this. And so there was a patient who I was discussing this topic with, and she said, well, you just need to meet my friend, Jeffrey Tyner. Down in Midland, he has some thoughts on this subject matter, and in fact, he helped get this documentary done called Sin Proof. So I called Jeffrey up. We had a great talk, met him down in Midland, and thought he'd be a great guest for the show to just really tell his story, his journey, his testimony along this path that he's still traveling down. We don't have all the answers, as Jim Baker said on a podcast with me earlier. We're in kindergarten on this thing, on understanding this thing called healing. So I want to bring Jeff into the show. Thank you, Jeffrey Tyner, for being here, executive producer of Sin Proof, which sinproof.com is where you can find this documentary. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hey, so glad to be here, Dr. Ben. I am just thrilled to be talking to you today. It's a real pleasure.
Well, it's a pleasure for me. This platform has been so incredible for the past 10 years. I get to just talk to people. A lot of times medical experts, and then patients with testimonials, and then just some random folks. And some people might say you're a random folk, a landman from Midland, Texas, who moved to California and then helped get this movie off the ground and get it launched. So it's quite the interesting story. Why don't you share that with the audience, kind of who you are, where you came from, and then we can get into the movie some and go from there.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I'm a Texas guy, born and raised in Texas. I've lived out in West Texas for about 20 years, been in the oil business for that period of time. You're absolutely right. Random. I can't even fathom my own story, the way God has directed my life. I grew up in a Christian home. I was saved at the age of 15 through what I would now comfortably call a miraculous vision. I didn't really have language for that at the time. Grew up in a good Bible preaching church, but those kind of things didn't happen. We didn't expect those kind of things. We didn't talk about those things. But I knew that I'd gotten saved, and my life had changed. My world had changed. The Bible came alive to me. I was a new person. And then just kind of kept on going with life. Not someone who I ever would have predicted would have ended up believing in miraculous healing or being a part of a movie. on miraculous healing. But that's the way my story has gone. We've been on an incredible journey. You hinted that we spent a few years in California. While I was in California, became good friends with Elijah Stevens, who is the director of Sin Proof. The movie is really about his own journey. And when I saw the rough cut of Sin Proof, I thought to myself, I want the world to see this. Really, I want folks back home to see this. Sin Proof is a movie that really targets, if you will, atheists and skeptics, and is a very fair movie on the topic of, is there medical evidence for miraculous healing? I saw a movie that a guy made really trying to reach out to atheists and skeptics, and I realized about myself, I'm a Christian, but I'm as skeptical as these atheists and skeptics when it comes to the supernatural, when it comes to healing. And the movie did such a good job of meeting my intellectual need to think through the whole topic, and it really convinced me. It really met me where I was at, and I just wanted to share it. So here I am. I'm an executive producer. I love telling I love telling my kids that their dad's a famous Hollywood producer now. It's probably the best part of the whole thing.
That's awesome. So you, I'm taken away from that. You came into this skeptical, or basically never experiencing, seeing, or being taught on this subject matter of divine healing, correct?
That's correct. Absolutely.
Okay. Saw the film, opened your eyes to some stuff. What happened after that? Did you dive into the Word? Did you go out on the street and start healing people? Take it from there.
Yeah, well, there's really backstory. So I would say that meeting Elijah and seeing Sin Proof happened at a time in my life that was really the culmination maybe of a long, let's say, 10-year process for me of becoming more open to the supernatural, more open to the miraculous over a period of time. And as I think back to probably what really started that process for me, I mean, I've mentioned the way in which God saved me as a 15-year-old. So I think that's always been in the back of my mind that, hey, God does crazy, miraculous, supernatural things, but he probably just doesn't do them that often. You know, they can happen. They normally don't happen. So I think that's in the distant background. But really about 10 years ago was the beginning of a shift for me. And I'll tell you the story. I was backpacking in the Himalayas with a good buddy of mine. And while we were out there, and we were pretty far out there, we met a family who were missionaries from the United States. And they invited us into their home. Just, you know, when you're that far away from home, you meet another American, especially somebody that's from Texas, and you kind of feel a camaraderie. So they had us into their home. And we just got to ask questions about, what are you guys doing out here? What does life look like for you? And we heard some stories, Ben, that absolutely blew my mind. Just to give you an example, he mentioned to me something like this. He said, hey, I think my daughter may have a gift of healing. And he told a story of them being in a hut, I guess, a tent with a family whose grandmother was extremely ill. I mean, on her deathbed. And he said that they could all see something like a basketball-sized tumor on her stomach, and that they prayed, laid hands on grandma. And he said, I saw my daughter, I think she's probably, I don't know, you know, 10 or 11 at that time. He said, I saw my daughter put her hands on that tumor, and we prayed that God would heal grandma and cure her cancer in Jesus' name. And he said, we all watched that basketball-sized tumor shrink and disappear. He said, my daughter's hands were on the thing. Now, Ben, for me, that is so far outside of my experience that it was one of those things that's hard to believe, but at the same time, I'm finding myself have no reason not to believe the guy. You know, I grew up watching televangelists on TV who, you know, we thought in my house were just like kind of crazy showmen, you know, that it was all kind of fake stuff on TV, really designed to deceive people and get them to send in money. And I am sitting in this guy's home. He's obviously made a lot of sacrifices to get his family out to this location. And there's no money in it. There's no fame in it. There's no, you know, at this time, there's no Instagram. There's no, nobody's putting this on. There's no possible profit motive or fame motive or anything like that. He's actually just out here on the frontiers of things, really, wanting to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And he's just sharing the story. Well, this starts this shift for me where I become open to the category that there is such a thing as God actually healing people today, that it's not all fake. Maybe a lot of it's fake, but at least maybe some of it's not fake. That was really the beginning of my journey. So that was 10 years ago. So I've been on this path of becoming more and more open to the possibility that God is actually doing this today. So I meet Elijah, let's say 10 years into that path, where I've become convinced, wow, God is doing this stuff today. It's not all fake. It's not all just made for TV stuff. Maybe there is, like I said, some fake stuff out there, but there is real. And so when I saw Sin Proof, then what I loved about it was that it was actually honest. It was an honest exploration of, hey, is there fake stuff out there? Yeah, there's fake stuff out there. I don't want to spoil the movie. But what it does is it says, look, is there real stuff out there too? And if there's real stuff out there, ought we to be able to, on some level, verify it medically? And that's really what the film is about.
Yeah, and I can attest to that from a point of view of a physician and evidence-based medicine. You know, the way they explain in the movie, how they look at the medical records, study it, you know, spend a lot of time studying, gathering the records, studying that, and ruling out every other potential source of healing or avenue of healing. It's really a thorough job, a very academic, evidence-based job that they did in the film. I recommend everyone go explore that. So, Jeff, tell me, in the 10-year journey that started there in the Himalayas, I mean, I'm imagining you got done with your hike, you came home back to the real world, back to the grind, your job or your family, whatever was going on in your life. I'm assuming there may be some question marks came up, or some pushback, or in your own mind, or others that you may have talked to about it, especially if you came back to a more conservative kind of West Texas type of culture. Did that just kind of go dormant for a while? Did you keep pressing into that? What were the hesitations or the doubts that came up, or questions that came up in your mind along this 10-year journey?
Yeah, great question, Dr. Ben. I wouldn't say it went dormant, but I won't say it was very active. You know, I think it was a crack that probably, you know, just slowly over time started widening. What one thing that happened for me, and I'm just going to be, you know, very transparent, one thing that I've learned about myself is that I've spent way too much time caring way too much about what people think of me, my image, respectability, dignity. That's all been a huge part of my life. And so, you know, what, I mean, honestly, if you're going to say you believe in healing, that God heals today in the circles that I'm from, it's not a popularity move. To say the least, there's a lot of concern in the theological and, you know, church circles that I come from that you're really going to hurt people if you pursue this. You know, that people, there's people out there that they're telling people, you know, if you're in a wheelchair, it's because of some sin in your life, or you don't have enough faith. Well, I've got all this baggage where I don't want people to think that I think that, you know, and so I'm kind of, you know, in this tension, if you will, between what's normal and acceptable in the world I live in, but also feeling like I know there's something real out there. You know, in the circles that I was in, theologian pastor named John Piper was very influential. He's had a huge influence on my life. At some point, I figured out John Piper is actually a charismatic. Now, he's not like the charismatics I grew up watching on TV, but I could handle him. You know, he was theological. He was deep. He studied the Bible. He taught the Bible. So that sort of gave me a place to look from someone I could respect. You know, I would probably never go to the guys on TV to learn more about this stuff, but I did start reading from the pool of folks that had some respectability in my crowd. That would be guys like John Piper, Wayne Grudem. There's a man named Jack Deere who I love to death. He was a seminary professor at Dallas Theological Seminary, became a charismatic, wrote very, very clearly to the part of the church, like that's the thinking theological, you know, really needs to see it from scripture, part of the church, explaining how all of this is actually biblical and can come from scripture. So it was really a slow process of me getting a hold of different things I could read that were acceptable to me, but then challenged me a little bit. I just can't tell you what an influence those folks had. Pastor named Sam Storms out of Oklahoma City, tremendous influence in my life. His blog and his books have been very powerful because he's also a theologian and someone who can articulate very well from scripture these things. And he's not on TV doing things that to me are, you know, kind of weird and showy and that kind of thing. I probably just came back and read for 10 years, mostly, Ben, to tell you the truth. But it was a slow drip effect. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. And so if I'm hearing you right, maybe having to prove to the intellectual side of your mind, but also your heart, but through the intellect and theologically, just from your upbringing, you know, being rooted in the Word and let me see it in the Word and more of that theological kind of argument. You had to come at it from that point of view, it sounds like.
100%.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. So kind of maybe jump to the part, you've read these books, these other pastors, this point of view that you could accept, your circles maybe could accept that a little more. So you're starting to kind of expand your beliefs or deepen your beliefs. How'd you get to California? Let's just jump right there, I guess.
Great question. Well, actually, and you know, just isn't God amazing the way he is writing our stories and weaves our stories together with other folks? You know, I mean, it's just, I just love how he does that. It's kind of mind blowing. The gentleman, the family that my buddy and I met in the Himalayas, ended up coming back to the United States years later. He comes back to California. And I reconnect with him. Once I met him, I got on his email list, you know, and so every few months I would get an update email from him and I kept in touch with him. Also, you know, kind of getting this slow drip of testimony after testimony of miraculous healings and other things that they had seen God do where they were living. He comes back to the States. Well, I've spent, you know, let's say just about a decade reading and I'm a lot more open now. And I think to myself, if I could ever spend some more time with that guy, I would love to do that because I got a lot more questions to ask him now, you know, after 8 or 10 years of reading. And I was able to reconnect with him. And actually, crazily enough, I got to spend about 3 weeks with him on a trip in Asia. I talked him into letting me go with him on a trip that he was taking back to Asia. And I thought, I have got to sit this guy down and ask a bunch of questions. Neither he nor his wife were from a charismatic background, but clearly they had ended up, you know, believing that all of the gifts of the Spirit were for today and then God heals and does miraculous things. I got to spend 3 weeks with him traveling, asked him every question I could possibly think of. He had really kind, cogent answers to all of my questions. And while I'm spending this 3 weeks with him on this trip, thing after thing after thing takes place on this trip that absolutely finishes, let's say, destroying my worldview, my Western secular worldview that, you know, kind of says, you know, all that miraculous stuff is very rare, if at all, kind of thing. We saw God heal. We saw deliverances, demonic deliverances. And it was so impactful to me, Ben, to be in places where it's really the front lines of gospel advancement. These are not people that have been steeped in Christendom for centuries, you know, that have a Judeo-Christian worldview. This is like people have never heard of Jesus Christ before. This is the real front lines of where New Testament Christianity is advancing, and seeing person after person say to me that the reason that they became a Christian had something to do with a miraculous healing. And I'm thinking, okay, this guy's not lying. So this guy who is from this village where for him to become a Christian is incredibly costly. There's no social points for it like there is in Lubbock or Midland, right? There's no reason why you would want to do this. It would be very costly. His story of how he becomes a Christian is, well, mom was on her deathbed. She was going to die. We took her to the Buddhist temple to see what they could do. They did all their stuff. Didn't work. So we went over to the Hindu temple and we paid for them to do their stuff. And it didn't work. And then somebody said to us, well, if she's going to die anyway, you might as well let the Christians pray for her. So we took mom down to the Christians and we let the Christians pray for her. And she was healed. And so we became Christians. And I heard stories like that, Dr. Ben, over and over and over. And I just realized from where I've been sitting, this stuff is really rare and mostly fake, and every once in a while God does this kind of stuff, and here I am on the front lines of gospel advancement. It's like the book of Acts, and God is doing this stuff all the time, and no theologians are sitting around arguing about it. These dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in a way, having been shielded from all of that theological debate and Western rationalism and unbelief and all that skepticism that we inherit, they just don't know any better other than to read their New Testament and just assume that God does all the things today that he always did. And I was so confronted by that. That was really the final nail in the coffin of my worldview, probably after 10 years. And I came back from that experience absolutely changed. And I wanted to actually pursue these things, be around folks that believe that God is doing these things, and go for it. And as you said earlier, you know, like going for it, it's not like we necessarily know what we're doing, Dr. Ben, right? I mean, we're learning, we're experimenting, we're exploring, and we're stepping out and taking risks and doing something in faith. It's not like we're experts at this, but I want to lean into these things. And that was really the genesis of us picking up the family and moving to California for 3 years to go to 3 years of ministry school out there, so far outside of our comfort zone. I can't tell you how far outside of our comfort zone we were, Ben, but we were, and I would do it again 100 times. It was absolutely one of the best decisions I've ever made. One of the good things about it was that I met Elijah as soon as I got there and got to be friends with him, got to be a part of this film, and it's been fun. So that's really how we ended up doing this crazy thing.
Wow, what a fascinating story. And I hear the same thing talking with other folks as far as seeing things out on the front lines and really, I guess you'd say the third world or not the westernized world. It's a completely different look the gospel, really. I feel like we're so narrow here, but don't want to bash Western religious, you know, mindsets too much, but to a degree, we need to at least start asking some questions and look at that and analyze that and seek the Holy Spirit's guidance in it. This will be a good time for a break. Jeff, if you can stick with us real quick, we're going to let Wade do a commercial break here, and then we'll be back and continue this story and pick Jeff's brain a little bit more on this divine healing thing and just pressing into the kingdom, really, more and more. So the movie again, Send Proof. You can go to sendproof.com and watch the trailer. You can purchase the DVD there or stream it. I think you can also stream it live. You can check out the cast, who's all on in the movie, and just learn more about it. Sendproof.com. We'll be right back after this break. Remember, we archive the show and put it on our website, veritasmedical.com. Under the resource tab, you can see the podcast archive page. We'll also have it up on iTunes under You're the Cure. So y'all stick with us. We'll be right back with Jeffrey Tyner, executive producer of Send Proof. I'm Dr. Ben Edwards. You're the Cure. Okay, everybody, welcome back to the show. Got a great show going here with Jeffrey Tyner, executive producer of Send Proof. I recommend you go to the website, sendproof.com, check it out, learn more about it, read about the director, Elijah Stevens. We're speaking with Jeffrey Tyner today. We're going to continue this conversation where we dropped it or left it. Jeff, you and the family moved to California, ministry school out there, and then you come home. How long have you been back in Midland?
Let's see, just a few months. Yeah, I came back during the summer, got back just in time for the kiddos to start school, and just right back into things here.
All right. So kind of looking back over this pretty dramatic experience, a big move to California, 3 years out there, this amazing story you just told us, seeing amazing deliverances and healings overseas. What do you think God's doing with that? Landing you back home in Midland, and or has He shown you yet, or what do you feel like in your heart? Something stirring as to what's the point of all this? Where are you on this journey now?
Great question. Well, I am asking Him that. For us to go and do this thing was such a crazy out of the box adventure for us. We never sold our house in Midland. We thought that we might be back. We were pretty open-handed, you know, to go do such a thing. We were really at a place where we said, God, we'll do anything. I said, God, if you want me to go back to Midland, I'll go, but I don't want to just go by default. I want to know that you're sending me there. And just through a few things in my own, you know, personal devotional life, I felt like God spoke very clearly to me that we were to go back, and that was the reason we still had our house there. I have a general answer to the question of what God's doing in me and what my heart is. I don't necessarily have all the specifics. Dr. Ben, my heart is to do for other people what my friend in the Himalayas did for me, what Jack Deere did for me, what Sam Storms did for me. I want the part of the church that I'm from to experience all that God has for us. That's really what I want. You know, I want to be a bridge. I want to be, it's not so much about winning a theological argument for me, although there is a place for that. At the end of the day, as Westerners especially, we do a lot of arguing about positions on things, and we kind of think that everything about a person boils down to their positions on certain things. And positions on things are important, but what I really want is for people to have the full experience, let's say, of everything that God has available to us. That's really what I want. It's been so remarkable just in our own lives. I say, my wife and I have been on this journey together. You know, we did ministry school together. Here we are back doing this together. It has been crazy, scary, a little embarrassing at times, awkward, but so much fun to realize that we serve a God who's living and active, that the Holy Spirit, you know, Jesus meant it when he was telling his disciples, if you can imagine it, if you can imagine Jesus telling the people that he spent 3 years with, hey, it's actually better for me that I'm going away, because when I go away, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. You know, I spent my life as a Christian not really experiencing the third person of the Trinity, the active power and presence of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Godhead with whom we get to directly interact and interface as we read our Bibles, as we go to work, as we pray for someone who's in need of healing. I mean, it's just like, it's an adventure. It's fun. Now, just fun isn't the point. It's what God has called us to. I'm so convinced that, you know, the enemy has strategies, right? You talked about this. The enemy has different strategies in different places among different people. And I think one of the strategies that happens in the West is that we have our Christianity mostly up in our heads, and we're not really stepping out and taking risks and doing things where we would actually know if God, let's say, said yes or no if we asked for it. Well, we're not actually putting ourselves in situations where we're really depending on the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm making a broad statement. I'm not saying no one is. I'm just saying I think there's a lot of room for us to experience more. I think God has more for us. And I want to share what we've gotten to experience and learn. And I want to see, ultimately, this is my answer to your question, I want to see revival. I want to see God pour out his Spirit and move in a way that we've seen him do in history. You know, our continent was transformed by the First Great Awakening. A lot of people don't know about that, and I would just encourage people to go back and do a little bit of reading on that. The First Great Awakening changed the trajectory of America. God moved in such a way that churched people, religious people, people that were saved and loved their Bible and went to church every Sunday, were so moved and impacted with a fresh sense of God's glory, his majesty, his power. They were so moved by the sinfulness of their sin and the graciousness of God's grace that God's extended to us through Jesus on the cross. It was like God made people tender in a way they hadn't been before to himself and to his power and his presence. And it absolutely transformed. It transformed our country. It transformed the frontier. We just take for granted the trajectory-changing impact that the First Great Awakening had on our country. And Ben, don't we need that today? I mean, when we look at the world and we look at the direction of our country, shouldn't we be hungry to see God moving his people in a fresh way? That's what I want to see.
Yeah. Well, ditto, me too. and I don't think I've shared too much on the radio before, but 10 years of Veritas Medical, once a divine appointment in my professional life, I was exposed to the fact that what goes in your mouth actually can impact your physical health. That wasn't stressed in medical school. I got 2 years of nutrition, or excuse me, 2 hours of nutrition education in 4 years of medical school. And so 11 years ago, when I was introduced to the fact that if you eat processed food, it can cause inflammation in the body, and inflammation can make your blood pressure go up and make acid reflux happen and make your joints hurt, we call arthritis, and so many other inflammatory conditions, and just stewarding the physical, gaining knowledge and stewarding that physical, eating God food, not man food, get out of your chair every hour, get some sunshine, fresh air, make sure you have oxygen going into your lungs all night. People with sleep apnea don't have enough. But these physical things, if you can just line them up with God's original intent of the physical body functioning, it needs oxygen. If someone held your head underwater for 10 minutes, your flesh would die, because God didn't design us to breathe underwater. So there's the physical stewardship part of things. And it was amazing. Just telling people, quit eating sugar for 30 days and see what happens. And I mean, incredible things happened. And the entire practice grew through word of mouth off basically stewardship of the physical. And over the years, what I've came to observe was people that didn't respond as well. You know, a diabetic who did the exact same thing as the previous five diabetics, but his blood sugar didn't come all the way down and he couldn't get quite off all his medication. There was something else missing. And I continued to see this just, you know, with various disease processes. Some people respond, some people don't. The non-responders, the common theme was stress. So it became apparent, very, very clear, God did not design us to be in fight or flight mode all the time. And when you are in fight or flight mode, there's a physical consequence to that. The adrenaline goes up, cortisol goes up, these fight or flight hormones. And when they stay up for too long or too often all throughout the day, most days of the week, most weeks of the month and year, and we're in constant fight or flight, that high cortisol makes you insulin resistant, blocks your thyroid from working, diminishes your sex hormones, and can cause infertility and heavy menstrual cycles and migraine headaches and so many things just from elevated stress levels. And as we pushed and dove deeper into that, it was clear that we can't just fix our circumstances and live in a stress-free world, especially in the days we're in right now. So it's not a matter of just fixing your circumstances. Impossible. It's more about your filters, your goggles, your glasses that you're viewing the world through. And we've got to change those filters and be looking more from the point of view of the truth, not from the point of view of the world influenced by the ruler of this world. And Jeff mentioned earlier, he struggled most of his life, and many of us do, including myself, about what other people think about us, our image. So that would be a filter or goggles that Jeff was seeing the world through, and I was too, and tempted to even to this day to do that, to care about what people think. Well, that's the enemy putting a filter on you. So there's just so much that we're continuing to learn and understand and going deeper. And I want the listeners to just hear my heart in this. It's the compassion I have for my fellow brothers and sisters, whether you believe in Jesus or not, the compassion I have for just human beings that come into our office hurting, seeking help. We want to be able to help them. But there's this piece of the Word, God's Word, the Book of Truth, that I'm like Jeff, grew up not hearing, not understanding, not being taught this piece. And when you start to be introduced to it, you have to kind of make a decision. Are these people making this up? Are they lying? I mean, when I learned about John G. Lake in the early 1900s and reading his testimonies and clearing out an entire hospital, 100,000 documented healings, Smith Wigglesworth, reading through his personal journals, basically, you're kind of faced with that fact of, man, these guys are lying or they're telling the truth, and there's something here that I just don't fully understand, so let's keep pressing in. Sorry, Jeff, a little tangent there. Just wanted to throw that in for the listener that I'm still on my journey. Jeff's on his journey. No one's fully arrived, but there's something. I believe God's stirring in a lot of people's hearts right now, especially since 2020. A lot of people waking up. I don't know if you'd call this the second great awakening or if we have to put a label on it, but I can tell you so many people are opening their eyes and searching. And my encouragement to folks is don't just search in the secular world and in a doctor especially. And I've had a few patients calling lately about emergency medicines and wanting to stock up with some emergency medicine, some antibiotics and some other things in case, you know, everything shuts down or the banks crash or pharmacies crash. And I'm not saying not to be prayerful about that. And maybe if the Lord tells you to store up on something, you store up like Joseph did. But to go first to that mindset of what can I do in my own strength and striving and to go gather up and store up things that'll save me, as much energy, effort, and time you spend there, let's double or triple or quadruple the energy, effort, and time in seeking the deeper things in the scriptures. Because what Jeff just said is a 10-year-old girl laid her hands on grandma and the tumor shrunk right in front of their eyes. You're going to have to wrestle with that. If that's true, then let's press in. Let's see and have the Lord show us. Have the Holy Spirit guide us into all truth. So that's what we're doing. That's the point of this show today. The Sin Proof documentary was powerful for me too, as it was for Jeff. I'm going to encourage people to watch that. I encourage you to keep pressing in. Jeff, I'll tell you one of the biggest kind of questions I get. I don't know if pushback's the right word. I mean, the people I talk to, both patients and friends and family and staff members, they're curious. They're wondering, kind of like you mentioned, they don't want to hurt somebody, or maybe they've been hurt, or you know, someone's died that they prayed for. But it's that personal experience of what we personally have experienced in our life, particularly in the Western culture and the churches we've grown up in, doesn't match what you're saying, what these guys are seeing overseas, or what we're saying the Word is saying. And that is a hard, hard thing to overcome. I don't know if you found the same thing or if you have some thoughts about that particular hesitation that comes to people when they think, well, it's just not, I don't see that. So they're basically using their life experience to judge or interpret Scripture through. Do you have any thoughts or comments on that or anything else I just said?
Yeah. Well, I love everything you said, Dr. Ben. A lot of times when we have a conversation about miraculous healing, I think for those of us from a background where that has not been our experience, and our only experience of it has been looking way over to people far away who are probably on TV doing stuff that seems like it might be fake. I mean, you know, there's this huge chasm between us and the people that talk about that stuff like it's normal. In my experience, one of the first things that comes up is this. Oh, how can I say it? This thing about faith, and I personally, I don't want to hurt anyone's faith. If we pray for healing, if we take the risk of praying a big ask prayer, not just saying, "Hey God, hey, we trust you to do your will and do whatever's best," but actually say, "God, we don't want this person to have cancer. Would you heal this cancer?" Where it would be very obvious if God healed it or not. We're afraid that folks' faith will be hurt if God doesn't do it. I would say to that, how much disappointment management are we doing? If I'm being completely honest, mm-hmm. for myself and a lot of my own life, I think what I've done is I've proportioned the size of my prayers to the size of the disappointment I thought I could handle if God said no. And what I've been challenged to do in the last few years is to say, you know what? I'm going to do two things right now. I'm going to take the risk. I'm going to trust God to make this what feels like a big ask. And at the same time I'm doing that, I'm going to trust him with the what if he doesn't do it. And I'm going to trust him that if he doesn't do it, when we get to that, we'll cross that bridge together, that he'll help me. That's not the way I've lived. And I'm doing it more. I want to do it. And I would say, let's step out and take risks together. Here's what we're not doing, Dr. Ben. We're not telling people you have cancer because you don't have enough faith. We don't know why this person has cancer. We live in a fallen world. You know, I mean, ever since Adam and Eve sinned, I mean, we've lived on a planet where bad things have happened, and there's all kinds of consequences. There's things we've done. There's things that have been done to us. We're not experts. We can't figure all this out. It's not our job to figure it out. Let's be humble and faithful and ask a good and loving God who's certainly able, in this example, to heal the cancer. Let's ask him to do it. And let's be willing to be small enough and just kind of know our role in this whole universe and say, God, you're obviously still God, no matter how this goes. But it's my job to ask. You know, you sent out your disciples. You sent out the 12 to heal the sick. You sent out the 72 to do the same thing. Matthew 28, you told everybody that was still left, go and make disciples of all nations and teach them to observe everything I've commanded you. I mean, we all have the same commission. Let's do it. Let's not get stuck in our heads. And also, let's mourn with those who mourn. If someone's not healed, let's not be weird technical jerks about it. You know, like we actually know why they didn't get healed. Let's love hurting people. I think that's the other fear is that you can't pray for healing and believe that God does the miraculous and make these big asks without being a compassionate person. So why don't we do both? I mean, like we said, we're figuring this out as we go, Dr. Ben. We don't necessarily know what we're doing. We can't guarantee, you and I are not claiming to have some superpower, right? We just are tuning into the fact that God heals and healing is available. And we're invited, even commanded, to ask and go for it. Those are my thoughts on that whole thing. You know, when I get into that question about faith, I just, you know, we live, a lot of us in the West, we live a very transactional relationship with God. And when we start talking about faith, we picture God with a faithometer in his hand, like a Geiger counter or something, you know, and he's holding up the faithometer to us. And if we get above a certain threshold that we can't even know what it is, then he would, then we scored enough on the faithometer and he would do it. You know, how transactional, you know? No, we're trusting in a person. We're trusting in a good and loving Father. That's what faith is. We're taking him at his word. We're believing in his character. We're believing in his ability. This isn't some technical, transactional, I would even say like medical thing. You know, this isn't a science. This is a relationship. Mm. Let's trust him. Let's take risks. Let's go for it.
Yeah, that's so good. And if I could boil it down to one thing, it's what you just said. It's all about relationship. I mean, when you really step back, the big picture view of the gospel of the kingdom, not the gospel of salvation, but the gospel of the kingdom, this new creature, Christ living in us. Paul talks about this amazing new creature, new creation, new man, that Christ in us, we're in him, seated in him in heavenly places, and he's in us, just that right there. That's a huge, huge concept to wrap the mind around. But this issue of our own soul versus our spirit, and this soul that's can be influenced by a spirit of man-pleasing, that I care about what other people think, and I better watch what I say and watch what I do because I can't make anyone mad because then they may not make a business deal with me. My provision's going to go away. I mean, that is the battle right there, getting that kind of thought and belief out and letting the Holy Spirit. So it's this whole die to ourself and let him shine through us. Let him and his character and his nature come through us into the world. But we are so intellectual. We're so creative. We have all these gifts and talents, but under the influence of these principalities and spirits, fallen angels, these thoughts that aren't the truth. Man-pleasing is a huge one. Spirit of performance is a huge one. I got to perform. I've got to be my own provision, my own protection, this orphan mentality. There's just so many things in our mindsets, in our heart. It changes our motivation. And I think that kind of plays into this faithometer thing. Where's our heart? What's our motivation? Are we seeking the healer over healing in this personal relationship and being guided by the Spirit of Truth? There's no formula. This isn't a step 1, 2, 3 Bible study, do this and this and boom, presto. It's not a genie in a bottle. It's none of that. It's a very individual, led by the Spirit thing, if things are the right word. But I've just, like I said at the top of the show, there's so much that I thought I knew that I didn't know, and getting humbled all the time, understanding I know very, very little, actually. And just hearing from these guys overseas, you sent me a video, actually, Ken Fish, Ken Belubic, over the summer, that he spoke to this some. You know, Jesus healed everyone that came to him, every disease, every person, every time, who came to him looking for healing, but in his own hometown, he it appears couldn't get it done. And it wasn't him that couldn't get it done. The people were not coming to him with a heart and a motive and a mindset of seeing Jesus for fully who he was, the Messiah. They saw him as Jesus, the, hey, your brothers and sisters live here and you grew up here and you're just Jesus. We know you. What's this? I mean, their vision, their look towards Jesus, their seer, their goggles weren't seen. And in some ways, I'll speak for myself. I was coming and looking at Jesus as my ticket to heaven. That gospel salvation, turn or burn, you don't want to go to hell, so you better say the sinner's prayer and get baptized. Just interacting with so many patients every day for 10 years, thousands of patients, and not judging people. It's an observation of myself and a lot of patients as we talk about these things. Are we looking at Jesus like, I mean, we're hometown thinking he's my ticket to heaven, and no, is there more? So anyways, there's just a lot to consider, a lot to seek the Holy Spirit in, but any thoughts or comments on that?
I love what you're saying, Dr. Ben. You know, if folks would ask me for just one takeaway, I would say for me the main takeaway that I would want people to have from an interaction with me would be way less about healing and God's ability to heal and desire to heal and all that. It would really be about your internal world. You know, just like you, I grew up in an environment where the good news that we heard was if you put your faith in Jesus, you believe that he died on the cross for your sins, you can go to heaven when you die. And so a long time ago, God did something that affects your far distant future. And that's absolutely a part of the gospel. I mean, our need for a savior in order to be restored eternally to God, this absolutely the entry point of the gospel. There's no arguing that. You're not saying that. I'm not saying that. I mean, we absolutely believe in the necessity of folks to reckon with the fact that God is holy and they're not. They need a savior, and then their eternal future hinges on if they face the judgment with a mediator or without one. And Jesus is the only one who will be the mediator that they need. But their gospel is more than just about your far distant future. God actually wants to have a relationship with you now. There's a book that I read that I loved called Eternity Is Now in Session by a guy named John Ortberg. It helped me so much. You know, when we think of salvation the way I thought of it when I was a kid, I was thinking, okay, this is like this doesn't begin now. This is about something that I get, like, you know, like if your great grandmother gave you some like treasury bonds or something that you can redeem like 25 years from now or something, you know, it's like, okay, thanks, but I don't even know what that is. Like, I want to go ride my bike. You know, we just haven't seen the nowness of our salvation, that really the good news isn't just about our long-term eternal destiny. It's the good, one of the great goods of the good news is that God wants to relate to us as a good father now, today, in our present circumstances. And this isn't just like TV preachers saying, hey, God wants to bless you in this life. There's a powerful book that impacted me by John Piper, one of my favorite theologians, called Future Grace. And really what he means by that is God's present ongoing grace, his favor in our lives. And Dr. Ben, you said that so much of what's going on for people is not just the diagnosis, the medical diagnosis they have, is that their internal world is so full of stress that they're living like they are on their own in the world to take care of themselves. And they may be believers in Jesus Christ. I mean, they may have some peace about their, you know, far distant future in eternity, but in this life, they're practically living
Like, I am on my own. No one else is going to look out for me. I have to take care of myself. And man, isn't the world stressful, especially in, you know, just as more and more of us are knowledge workers, we're not, you know, physical laborers. Our livelihood depends on what people think about us and, you know, the public perception. I mean, just going back to, you know, we talked about just worrying so much about how we're perceived. Life is stressful, right? And then everybody else out there in the world is putting on Instagram some amazing life, and we're looking at ours and it doesn't seem that good. And there's just this pressure to be okay, more and more pressure to be externally viewed as okay, while our internal world is so not okay. And you know what? I just want to say to your listeners, God cares about your present. He cares about you. He cares about your internal world. And when we say, you know, the Lord's Prayer, Father, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that's not just out there. That starts in here. God wants to advance his kingdom starting inside your own internal world, your own view of the world, your own emotions, your heart, how you experience life. You know, being loved by God, if you really let him love you the way that he says he does, and this isn't going to get some mystical experience. This is just reading your Bible. Read your Bible. Believe what it says is true about the kind of person God is, what it is he's actually done for you in Christ, why he did that, and how he felt about you when he did that, and who you are to him now. When you really internalize those things, and internalize is a technical word. I mean, how about just like believe what he says is true? It will absolutely reorder and reorganize your internal world, and you'll have so much more peace to face everything that life throws at us. That's really where I would want people to start. That's really the big miracle that I've seen. Ben, you know, I've seen God do some amazing miraculous healings, but the real big miracle that I've seen is the way God has reorganized and reordered my internal world and that of my wife. We're still in process. That's what I would want your listeners to experience.
Amen. I couldn't have said it better myself. And that's really what we desire here. And we are blessed with the opportunity to get to walk with patients who want to walk in that direction. So this interview, Jeff, thank you so much for being here today. I think it's going to really impact a lot of lives, open some hearts and minds both. And I'm with you. I was an intellectual guy. I mean, I sat under the Darwinian evolutionary biology teaching for 12 plus years, and that created lots of seeds of doubt. So my first 3 or 4 years after I had my aha moment, it was just simply working through from an intellectual standpoint, science and Darwin versus Genesis. And but the Lord was faithful to show me the truth in that clearly, and where it was absolutely 100% clear to me. And then it was a journey from there. So everybody's on their journey. But this testimony of yours, Jeff, it's amazing. And I think it's going to help leapfrog or ignite a lot of people in their journey down this road of knowing God more, knowing him personally as someone who's intimate and can speak to them. So thank you. Thank you for being bold and for not submitting to the spirit of man-pleasing and caring what people thought about you so much that it kept you in Midland, Texas, and not going on beyond. So, and then thank you for coming back and just sharing the truth with the hometown crowd that you love so much, obviously. And I just want to echo that to everyone that's listening. We're not trying to step on toes, but out of compassion and love, and mostly a love for Jesus, love for the truth. That's what motivates me now. I used to love what men thought about me more than I love Jesus, and it influenced me in my thinking and my speaking. And now my love for Jesus trumps my love for really it's a self-centeredness. My image can't get dinged. I got to keep everybody happy and just say, you know, mind my P's and Q's and watch out what I say. Got to stay popular. And that's really a self-centeredness more than anything. So thank you for dying to yourself, Jeff, and being who God made you to be. And I appreciate you being on the show today. And I'll give you the last word or final closing thought.
Well, thank you, Dr. Ben. It's just been such a privilege. I enjoy every time I get to visit with you, and such a privilege to get to visit with you today and your listeners. I want to invite us all into a greater faith in all that God says in His Word about, like I said, who He is, what He's done for us in Christ, who we are because of what He's done, who He says we are, and what we have available. Let's take risks. Let's trust Him. Let's go for it. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Okay, everybody, you've been listening to Jeffrey Tyner, executive producer of Send Proof. Sendproof.com is a website. Go check it out. You can live stream it there or get the DVD. And we will archive this show at veritasmedical.com under the resource tab. You can check that out, and lots of other shows there too. We'll be back next week with another one. I'm Dr. Ben Edwards. You're the cure.